Welcome to Unstuck, the podcast for solo business owners who want things to feel better. Formerly known as Life in Business, this show is still the same honest advice and practical support that you've come to expect, just with a name that fits even better. I'm Libby Langley, business coach, author, and your no-nonsense guide to making business feel lighter, clearer, and more doable. Each week, I'll help you untangle what's in your head, get clear on what matters, and move forward without burning out or starting from scratch. Here's this week's episode. Hello. Today, I'm going to talk to you about your idea. You know that idea that you have that's like, oh, this is the one. You've scribbled it down. You've got really excited. You've told someone about it. You've maybe, messaged your business WhatsApp group buddies. But then you've talked yourself out of it. You know, it's been done before. Who am I to think about this? I'm not ready. Maybe I'll just do it when... All of those things, right? They sound a bit familiar. This episode of my Unstuck podcast with me, Libby Langley, today is going to talk about the kind of spiral of overthinking that you creative, smart, solo business owners can sometimes get stuck in and how to get out of it, right? Not to say that your ideas should never be actioned, but there is a little side note of do not action every idea, right? And there's a previous episode about that. Go back and find it. But when you've had an idea that you know is really good and is really going to make a difference to things and is kind of the thing, then why can you talk yourself out of it? And this isn't about forcing yourself to push through or just carrying on regardless. This is about helping you to shift how you think about your ideas and about yourself. And that will help you start taking action again, which is really, really important without making a massive deal of anything, right? This is just about you having your idea, acknowledging your brilliance, and then actioning the bits of it that you need to action rather than talking yourself out of it. Okay, so why do you think that self-sabotage kicks in after we get a good idea? And again, not all ideas are good ideas and not all ideas need to be actioned. However, what about when you just think, yes, that's so good, that makes sense, that's what my clients, potential clients want to hear. So self-sabotage can kick in for an absolute ton of reasons, but often it's, you know, you get really excited, but then your brain kind of goes into protective mode. It knows that there's fear within you, fear of success, fear of a failure, fear of everything, right? And it kind of kicks in with this like mama bear protective mode. And that's completely normal. It's how our brains keep us safe. It's how our brains look after us. And it's the kind of, the cave person way of dealing things with things. Yeah, your brain knows a lot of stuff and talks a lot of sense. So you do need to listen to it. But often what happens in these scenarios, especially if the idea that you've had is like something a bit different to what you've done before, maybe a big, brave, bold move, or maybe the next level in what you're offering, or maybe just a total pivot that feels right to you, but you're not sure how anyone else might react. And your brain will often go, yeah, wait until blah, 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 blah. And that's because it wants to protect you from failure or embarrassment, quite simply. You know, your brain's good. Your brain looks after you. And this is, I want you to know that this kind of spike of doubt isn't necessarily a sign that your idea is a bad idea. It's a sign that it matters, okay? I just want to say a little side note about ideas, though. I don't know if you're anything like me. I imagine that you are because that's why you're here. And your brain is pretty busy. You might be neurodivergent like me. I am autistic ADHD. And believe you me, I have had more ideas in the 5 minutes that I've been talking than some people have in their lifetimes. So there's a lot of ideas going off all the time, always thinking about something, always planning new ways to do things, work-related things, adding bits into email funnels, email sequences, from ideas to podcasts to, I don't know, moving the desk around to all sorts of things, right? There's ideas all the time. New products, new services, new pricing points, new entry pricing points, everything, right? But it doesn't mean that all those ideas are good ideas and all those ideas need to be actioned. Now, I used to action everything and that has meant a couple of times that I've launched something and then I've unlaunched it. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't really associate any shame to me having done that. It's just one of those things and one of those things that I've learned along the way and one of those things that I'll happily talk to you about. But I've kind of got really excited about the idea and thought, yeah, I can do this and I can set this up at the back and it'll work like this. No, it'll be amazing. And what I've done, the thing that I will own as an error and share with you is I've actioned it straight away because I can, because my brain is like, you know, on fire all the time, right? And that's the word of caution that I would give to you about ideas, right? Not to say, do actually talk yourself out of them, but to say not every idea is a good idea. And maybe when you've had one of your many, 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 many brilliant ideas, sleep on it for 24 hours, sleep on it for 48 hours. And that's not to encourage this talking yourself out of it thing that this episode's about, but this is just to make sure that it is actually the idea, right? It's not another idea just because you can have ideas, okay? So there's a different side of things here. So I wanted to make that really clear to you and I wanted to make that distinction because I'm not advocating that you action every single idea that you have. I mean, oh my God, can you even imagine? What would I have done today? Well, I probably would have, let me think, I would have opened a shoe shop. I would have set up a cattery. I would have bought a small coffee shop and tea room in the Lake District and moved there with my husband. I would have retired completely. You know, and it's just like, so not all these ideas, we can think through these ideas and we can plan these ideas and they can be little, you know, side quests and that's fine. But they don't all have to be actioned. And so thankfully, since I recognised, well, I guess it's my diagnosis, my autism ADHD diagnosis as well, has made me, helped me become much more self-aware about things like this. But actually, you know, I can sometimes just let my mind play with these ideas. And definitely in business, I have my Confidence to Grow program and I do not break it. I do not break it. I do not mess with it. It refines itself gradually over time because of the way the members, you know, the support that the members need and the way the members access the support. So it's a year since it launched, and over that time it hasn't changed much, but I would say it's tweaked a little bit, and that's okay because that's a naturally evolving thing. But the ideas that I have about, oh, I could deliver this and oh, I could do that, I don't do anymore. And honestly, that's one of the things that I'm most proud of, I think, is that I do not action all my ideas. Okay, so that was a little side note that's there to say that you do it. But coming back to, let's assume that the idea that you've got now is one that you've slept on for 48 hours and you know that it's still the right idea and you know that it's brilliant and you know it's going to change things in the way that you want things to change, but you're not doing it. Okay. So your brain has started to self-sabotage here. Your brain has said, but what if it fails? What if you look like a Wally? What if, right? All those things might be true. They might be true. It might not work. You might feel like, I don't know, it just might not go as you planned, but you're never going to know unless you try it. And I think this is the thing, really. If you're not actioning your idea because you're frightened of what might happen and your brain is protecting you from potential failure or embarrassment, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You could fail and you could be a bit embarrassed, but like me, you can turn it into a learning exercise, learning opportunity for yourself and for any and all of your clients, right? It kind of never matters. And I think that that's a great thing. It makes you a better business owner, because if you never try anything new, or you never allow yourself to trust in yourself enough to action any of your ideas, then that's kind of sad. Right? That's you're stymieing your own growth there. And that's a shame. Yeah. That's a really sad thing. So when your inner voice says, this has been done before, yep, probably. Unless you're inventing some incredible new tech, probably. Probably it's been done before. Probably someone has said it in some way, shape, or form. And that's okay too. Most things have been done before, right? Most things have been said before, but they've never been done or said by you, which makes them different, which makes them unique. You will have a very slightly different take on the thing, right? A very slightly different way of delivering the service or sharing the advice or teaching the outcome. And that's what makes it different, right? Just because it has been done before does not giveth you a reason to not do it. I mean, you think of teachers, right? There's a standard curriculum in schools. So there's, you know, English teachers, there's millions of, hundreds of thousands of English teachers in this country, right? But they'll all be different, even if they're teaching the same syllabus. And some of you will remember from school who had a really incredible impact on you. And it's probably not because of what they were teaching. It's the way they were teaching and the things they said to you and the way they made you feel, right? And that's the thing to remember. There are loads of people doing very, very similar things to you, very, very similar things to me. But none of them are us. And that's the difference, right? So saying most, this has been done before. Yeah, so what? Do it again, do it better. Doesn't matter, right? It's really, really empowering that. And your voice, your take, your audience is what makes it unique, right? That combination has never been done before. Really, really important. Even if you're teaching somebody else's method, you've learned something, you're a licensed person for a particular product or service. It's still unique to you, because people are still going to buy you, okay? And this is what matters. So if you've had, unless you're blatantly plagiarizing, famous person, no names mentioned, who's written an entire book and created an entire movement based on someone else's poem, but don't plagiarize. That ain't cool, right? That is not cool at all. But you can certainly reference somebody else's work and say, I based a lot of my teachings on whatever. And that's cool, right? It's what makes things unique. It what makes things different. So people buy connection. They don't buy novelty, right? They buy you because they like you, because you're warm, you're engaging, you're funny, you're interesting, whatever you are. You're super serious. You know, you're very academic. You're very detail focused. You make things easy to understand. Whatever is you, then that's cool. And that's what people will buy. So let your version exist. Yeah. And don't think, oh, actually, it was so-and-so's idea. Yeah. That's okay. Credit them or, you know, adapt it. Yeah. Though you'll hardly read a book out there or speak to anybody anywhere who isn't, you know, what they're doing hasn't been done before, but it's never been done in the way that they do it. And it's really so important, this, that I want you to feel empowered that your version is a good version, right? Imagine that you had this idea and somebody else ran with it instead. That would just make you so sad, right? Because you know, like I say, very few ideas are actually unique ideas. And so to kind of, miss out on the opportunity of sharing your idea with people would be kind of really sad. And you'd look back and go, oh, I could have done that. Why didn't I do that? I had that idea, but I didn't do it because I was a bit too frightened there. And I think you know, I can think of quite a lot of times over the years where I've done things impulsively, like I've already said, and perhaps also things where I haven't put myself forward for stuff. And I'm kind of okay with that now. Like, you know, my clients say to me, you know, why don't you do a TED talk? And I'm like, yeah, because I don't want to apply for it. I don't want to put myself through kind of that process. And then I see other people doing TEDx talks and I'm like, oh, you know, I could do one of those. And I speak on lots of stages, you know, I've done lots of keynote speaking, but it's like I'd never feel sad that I'm not doing it because I've made the conscious choice not to do it. And I know my reasons why I haven't put myself forward for it, right? But if you didn't put yourself forward for something or didn't share your idea and you forever regretted it, how sad is that? It's just such a shame that to ever have something in your life, in your business, where you think, I wish I'd jumped out of that plane. I wish I'd gone to that networking meeting. I wish I'd. And I guess part of it is FOMO, right? Particularly if you see other people having a good time or, you know, the results that have come for them from doing something. But missing out because of your own fear or it's been done before or, you know, I'm going to fail or I'm going to be embarrassed, rather than I'm making the conscious choice not to do this and I know why and I'm cool with that. You know, they're different kind of ways of approaching things. And I would never want you to feel you've let yourself down in a way. So you've either got to make total peace with not doing something or just flipping well do it. Just flipping well do it and see what happens. Right. And I say all this to kind of give you a nudge to action something without any shame whatsoever. Right. There's no shame. There's no judgment here. This is motivational. Yeah. What if you did? You know, what's that Dr. Pepper advert? Right. You know, what's the worst that can happen? Probably not much. And like I say to my clients all the time, you know, none of us are heart surgeons. None of us are firefighters. Nobody's going to die whether we do or don't do the thing. So it's the fear kind of is, I won't say irrational, because however you feel how you feel, right? And that's absolutely should be acknowledged. But it's proportionate, okay? So if you think, I really want to run this program or this one-day event or something, and if you put it out and you put your heart and soul to it and then nobody comes, it's like, okay, nobody came. But I got a couple of nice emails from people saying, oh, I'd love to come to that, but I can't do the date, or the price point's not right, or if it was about this, I'd come. And you've learned so much. And so nothing is ever wasted, okay? So don't feel disappointed in yourself, for sure. So I guess a way to break it down is, right, got this idea, it's genius. Slept on it for 48 hours. I really want to do it. I'm pooing my pants, but I'm going to do it. So instead of thinking, do I launch this whole big, enormous, scary new thing? Maybe change that thinking to, what would one email or one conversation about this look like, right? So you can test the water with something. Instead of going full tilt, big launch, gonna plan this because my idea is brilliant. So you can test the water, maybe do some market research, have a few soft conversations, email some previous clients, talk to current clients, existing clients, and see what people think, right? It's a much softer way of doing things. And you know already that you don't need a finished and polished and perfect funnel to test email funnel sequence, whatever. You don't need that to test a new offer or share a new message. You can send out an email to your list or put something on social media or talk to people at networking and say, do you know what? I've had this idea, I'm really excited about it. It's this, 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 which is going to help you this, 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 this. I haven't done anything other than that because I wanted to see what you thought. And they'll say, well, that sounds interesting. Boom, there's your beta group. And that's it. And honestly, you can cobble something together in a Google Doc So many people these days will launch things. They've just typed it out in a Google Doc. Maybe get ChatGPT to just tighten up some of the language for you or help with the flow of it. But honestly, that's enough. What people need is your enthusiasm, the transformation for them, the basic information of what it is, how much it costs, and how they can buy it. And that's it. That's all people need. But we can spend too long procrastifaffing, you know, and that again is the fear of, I've got to build a really fancy sales page. I've got to have some great Canva graphics. I've got to do 32 different posts on social media. I've got to have a whole email series worked out. No, you don't. You don't. You don't. You just need to tell a few people and that'll kind of tell you whether it's got legs or not. Yeah. And then depending on, given what feedback you get, right, you can do as is in your head, or you can tweak it and change it and add bits in. And it's a really helpful way of doing things. And I would say absolutely that kind of this gentle progress is the perfect strategy. That we don't need to, I have a real tendency to, and I am getting so much better at it, but be a bit bull in a china shop about my ideas, right? I go absolutely all in. I go into total hyper-focus mode. And if you're neurodivergent, you will understand what I mean by that. But total hyper-focus mode. And it's like, right, back-end widgets, do this. And my mind's like, do. And everything's being set up. But I haven't necessarily tested the idea with anybody. And I could have spent a long time going down one particular path that wasn't quite the right path. You know, like the overall idea can be sound, but maybe focus on this, not that. So I would definitely say that kind of gentle progress and having conversations is the really smart way of doing this. And honestly, it's a darn sight easier as well. Why put an absolute shit ton of effort into something that is going to be slightly different? Anyway, just do it the lazy way. Just do it the lazy way. But the less polished you are, often the more real things seem and the better received things are, certainly these days, because there's a lot of Instagram filters around life and business, right? And the less you buy into that and the less you do that, the more people are going to respect you, I think. I absolutely think. So progress, any progress that you make, it comes from the actions that you take, not whether or not the action is perfect or not, or whether the idea is perfect or not, right? You need to just think, what can I do today to make this happen, to make this move forward? What can I do? What's one thing? Oh, I can send them a message. Right, do that. Yeah, but don't waste loads of time and energy and effort perfecting stuff. And for God's sake, don't spend ages creating millions of Canva graphics. It just it won't make the difference, unless you're selling a course on how to make Canva graphics, of course. But don't it's not going to make any difference that. And if you feel a bit stuck, right? If you've got some of these ideas and you're not really sure what to do with them and you're not sure if they're a good idea or a bad idea. Nothing is a bad idea, but, you know, an actionable or let's just park that one kind of idea, then do download my free guide. It's got some, it's a kind of a coaching guide and it's got some spaces for you to write answers to the questions that I'll ask you. If you go to libbylangley.com/stuck, you'll be able to get your hands on that. And there's a link in the notes for this podcast too, to get yourself that. And that'll help you to think about what's right for you and what's not, really. Because that's often kind of the, we overthink, right? That's often the idea, that the issue here is that you are thinking. And whilst this idea that you've got, I'm damn sure is a really good idea, you might be getting yourself so stuck in your head about it, of whether it's a good idea, whether it's a bad idea. Am I talking myself out of my idea, or actually should I be talking myself out of my own idea, right? So go libbylangley.com/stuck and that'll give you a bit of a help there. But I just want to reassure you that you can absolutely follow up on the brilliance that you have, right? These ideas that come to you. Oh my God. And if it comes to you in the middle of the night, write it down because you will not remember it. Right. I know it's a pain to get a pen and put light on, but do you know what I do sometimes actually to help me remember stuff in the night? If there's something that I work on, I'm like, oh, I didn't do the so-and-so, or that's a brilliant idea. I'll move something off my bedside cabinet and I'll put it on the floor. So my glasses maybe, or my phone, or I don't know what else is there, book, whatever, put a book a different way up. Then, and I know then, because I've done something that's different, because everything, I'm autistic, right? Everything has a very specific place. So if something is different, I'm like, there's a thing that I had to remember. And often that will help me to remember the thing that I thought of in the night, or to remember the thing to do. So that might be a little trick for you, because I don't want to be putting the light on. Well, you know, not fair on my husband either, but I don't want to be putting the light on or picking my phone up to write a note in the night. I don't want my sleep disturbed like that. So I know that if I just move something slightly, I'm going to think, what was the thing? And most of the time, I can remember what it is. It's quite a good technique that if you want to remember middle of the night ideas. And as we all know, come the next day, they're not necessarily quite as brilliant as we might think they are in the middle of the night. But certainly that's a tool and technique that might help you on this. But remember that, you know, don't talk yourself out of your own ideas. Your ideas are great ideas. Sleep on them for a bit, a day or two, so you know that they're still valid and you're still enthusiastic about them, but a bit scared. That's okay. And you can take a small step, then another small step, then another small step. And you'll, before you know it, ta-da! Your idea has become reality, and that is very exciting indeed. So thank you for joining me today. I'll see you on the next episode of Unstuck with me, Libby Langley. Thanks for listening to Unstuck. Make sure you follow or subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you enjoyed today's show, I'd love it if you left a review. It really helps more solo business owners find the podcast and reminds them they're not alone. Want to chat about this episode or suggest a future topic? You'll find me on Instagram @LibbyLangley. See you next week.